All right, folks, welcome to back to Growing a Greener Kenai with me, Larry Opperman. I want to welcome all my gardening friends out there. And I hope we're all doing okay, because I'll tell you what, we had a pretty hard frost this morning. It was 27 degrees at my house, and it was frosted hard. That's about all I can say about that. The time has come, hasn't it, folks? It's 38 right now. We're supposed to be sunny today, clear tonight, maybe a little rain tomorrow afternoon after about 4 o'clock. And then we start getting a little bit cloudy again Monday with some rain, Monday night showers next week, rain and cloudy. So, but boy, today is, it is a stellar blue sky day today on the Kenai Peninsula. And as I've always said, it doesn't matter what the weather is, it's always a great day on the Central Kenai Peninsula. So I'll tell you what, there is a lot going on today. Beside the good old show here, we've got the garden clubs. First meeting today from 1 to 2:30 at Kenai Peninsula College. You'll see the signs if you want to attend. You'll see the signs, but you go in the door right by where the big metal moose sculptures are. That's where you go, and they'll be right there. And today's topic, it's going to be a forum with several experts in the area on, I just lost my train of thought, on root cellars. Sorry about that. How about that? I had a little senior glitch there for a second. So, root cellars, that's from 1 to 2:30. Then don't forget the Harvest Moon Festival is going on today at Soldotna Creek Park. It just started, runs from 11 to 6 today. And if you have time, if you want to make the rounds, you can head out to Jackson Gardens. This is Bobby Jackson, Bobby and Harold Jackson's annual fair that they do out at their gardens. They've got a lot of nice produce. They've got games for the kids. They got all sorts of good stuff out there. And I doubt I'm going to make it today because there's so much going on. But I've gone out and helped with her fair before, and it is a fun event. It is a fun event. So, you know, the schedule, 11 to 12 for Growing a Greener Kenai. Let's see, I'd say 12 to 1 at least for Bobby for the Jackson Gardens Festival, the Garden Club, Harvest Moon, or work it around however you want to do it, and get out there and have some fun on this wonderful, wonderful day on the Kenai Peninsula, because we are about out of time, folks. We are out of time, and gardening is done and over for the year. Now, I shouldn't say done and over for the year, because, you know, some of the stuff I got out in my garden will handle a freeze. I mean, I'll have to check everything whenever I get back home after the show today, but carrots will be okay. I've got some cabbage out there still. You know, and you guys have heard me say before how I got a little bit behind on my garden because of an illness. But the cabbage is doing okay, but the heads don't seem to be very tight. So I'm hoping that this frost didn't nip them too bad, and that they've still got a little bit of time to get up there and tighten those cabbage heads up. And I just planted a couple. You know, as I've said before, it's just my wife and I. I don't need to plant 20 cabbages for just my wife and I. But everything else is pretty much harvested. I've worked on cleaning out my greenhouse. I've still got, boy, I hope this cold weather didn't hurt it. But I've got my corn in my greenhouse, as I told you folks before. Man, those ears are coming on strong. They are coming on super strong. And I'm hoping that it was, well, it was 28 this morning in my greenhouse, and that probably did it for the few tomato plants I've got going. And I quit watering those tomato plants here a while back. And you know, one of the things you can do to get them to kind of vine ripen is just quit watering them. They'll start to wither, and those tomatoes will be hanging on there, and they'll ripen still. But at 28 degrees. Boy, I certainly hope those tomatoes didn't freeze in there. But I'll just have to check when I haven't been out there yet this morning. I have to go out there and check and see how they're doing. And I've done that before with tomatoes. You pull them up out of the ground or out of the pot or something, and then just hang them upside down where everything hangs down, and it and the tomatoes will still ripen on that thing. So you can do that. Everything else is cleaned out of the greenhouse. With the exception of, I've got some green onions still going in there. And then I've also got my corn. And like I said, those ears are coming on strong. They tasseled out. The plants tasseled out great. The silk is on all the ears. I've been giving them a little shake and watching that pollen fall. And I'm certainly hoping that there's some time left still for those ears to complete maturity. I'm going to be skeptical they make it, but you never know. You know, you just never know. And my potatoes, and I hope you folks have done this. It's probably about time, depending on what type of variety you grew, because with that hard frost with your potatoes outside, potatoes don't really like a hard frost. So just yesterday, let's see, was it yesterday, Marty? I can't remember. My wife's name was Marty. It was day before yesterday. I actually, with all the rain we've had, I cover my tomatoes or potatoes with a tarp, but I cut all the vines off. They were looking pretty peaked. Cut all the vines off, and I, you know, you've heard me say before, I grow all my potatoes in containers. Well, what I did was I used my little tractor and a couple pallets, and I actually moved them all into the garage. The soil is still super wet, and I figure they're going to sit in that garage and they're going to be able to dry a little bit more, plus not sit out in that cold weather with a potential, depending on how cold we're going to get, of freezing in the ground. But it's going to let that soil dry out a little bit more in the garage, and I'll keep checking on, but I'll be harvesting those hopefully within a couple of weeks, and mainly letting that soil dry out in the garage where it's not hot, but it's not cold either. And hopefully that'll help them age in there and then dry that soil out, and then I'll get them harvested. So that's where I've been doing with all that. And we've been, my wife and I, we've been, I had a couple of beds that didn't get planted this year, and the weeds grew up in there, and we've been slowly working to clean out some of those beds of all the weeds, scraping a little soil. I got me another load of topsoil and peat mixed from sourdough peat on Beaver Loop Road. I've had good luck with his stuff before, and I've also got soil from Stu Northrup too, out east of Sterling. I've gotten had good luck with both of those guys, but I've got a little extra soil. Before I put it in, though, I told you before, I'm going to be taking some soil samples at this time of year now and sending them to Brookside to the lab, and I'm going to see how they're doing. See how my soil is doing, and then that'll let me kind of know next year what I really need to do, even with the snow getting on top of them. And that I don't want to beef up the soil too much. And I've read a couple different things about this. You know, one of the things people make a mistake about is, and there's nothing wrong with it, I do it too, but you know, when I'm planting some, I might put a little fertilizer, little something, you know, maybe a little blood meal in the bottom of a hole, you know, whatever you put in there, some ground up eggshell. You can put ashes, wood ashes in. But one of the things to be careful of is you don't want to wash the nutrients away from the root system of your plant. The fertilizers or whatever you like to use, needs to be closer to the ground surface, so when you water, they work their way down to the roots and not away from the roots. And you know, that's one of the things that I don't know. Everybody does it a little bit different, but that's kind of the way I look at it. And I'll tell you what, that seems to work for me. So anywho, yeah, it's time to get some soil samples in. And as I told you before, I just didn't get a chance to do it this year. As I told you before, I'm gonna take extra soil. I'm gonna get it prepped for sending in for samples, and then I've got three different home analyzing kits to analyze your soil. So I'm going to get those results back. I'm going to keep that soil off to the side. I'll keep it the same batch. I'll use a batch to send in to the lab, and I'll keep identical soil from that batch off to the side. And when I get those results back, or I could do it now, I guess, and I could test that soil with my little home kits and just see how close, how far off that the soil kits are, the ones you can do yourself, compared to what the lab says. And I'll let you know that. One of the other things I want to remind you folks about is that this is going to be the last show of Growing a Greener Kenai for a little while. My wife and I are looking at doing some traveling, and we are still going to be here hanging out with KDLL folks, and there will be a couple of shows coming up. Well, first off, in about a month, here toward the end of October, we'll be doing a show for the annual fall fundraiser and membership drive for KDLL. So you have to be sure and stick around for that. But one of the things we're going to talk about during that time is protecting your harvest, storing your harvest, because of all that work we do, we don't want to lose those harvests after all that darn work. So we'll be talking a little bit about canning, blanching and freezing, eating fresh, the things that might be able to hang around for a while, you know, like you get a cabbage or a butternut squash, some of the squash, boy, you can eat those all winter long if they're stored properly. Your carrots, all that good stuff. We'll be talking about that at the fundraising show here in about a month. And then I'm looking to do a show maybe either toward the end of November or the first Saturday in December, and I want to do another show about some of the nicer, better, current-day gifts for the gardener in your life, maybe as a Christmas present or a birthday present, whatever. But as we get closer to Christmas, I know as a gardener, I never tire of getting things for the garden. We've even had friends from our old friends back in Southwest Missouri send me the little plant labels that you can stick in the ground, write on them and stick in them. I mean, it was an absolute wonderful, wonderful gift. So thanks to Neva and Hank back in Mount Vernon, Missouri, who sent those to me. I just love that kind of stuff. So anything like that, anything gardening, I absolutely love to get as a gift. So we'll do that, and then we'll likely do, and there may be another haphazard show here and there, but another show I'll do is either in January or February, we'll do a show on, hey, it's time to order your seeds. It's time to pay attention to what you're going to grow next year and order those seeds and get what you want. And one of the things to watch out for is there's a lot of great places to get seeds, but if you wait too long, boy, I'll tell you what, you might not get what you want. Some of the more popular seeds, they go fast. They go really fast from a lot of the name brand seed sellers. So, but I don't know about you, but I'm already sitting here thinking in my head about what I want to do next year. And next year, you know, as I told you before, I had really bad luck with bush peas this year. I grew, one of our gardeners loves to grow burpee easy peasy peas. Well, I tried them this year, and I tell you what, they are It wasn't a good situation, is all I can say. I had very poor germination, you know, and I don't know if I want to say I'm a professional gardener, but I feel like I'm a pretty good gardener. And I had seeds that they just did not sprout. Planted a whole packet of Easy Peasies, and like two peas came up, and I couldn't figure it out. So I did a replanting, and now they're growing okay. But I didn't grow Easy Pea. I grew a different bush pea, and my wife harvested some of the first peas just yesterday, the day before yesterday. Just harvested peas. So that's kind of weird to me. They just didn't do any good. And I mentioned before, I had some other beans, bush beans that I ordered, and not a single bean, an entire pack, like 40 seeds, not a single bean germinated, not a single one. So I had mentioned that to Casey Matney of our extension center, and he said, it sounds like those peas, his guess would have been that somewhere in storage, shipping, something, he said they got too hot. And he just said they got too hot, and too much heat on a seed will potentially, you know, keep it from sprouting, which is kind of weird because you get things that back where it's 105 degrees when it drops a seed, it sprouts. But I don't know. I just don't know on that one. So I don't know if I'll try the, I might try these again, and I'm going to, I sent a message to the seed supplier where I got these seeds, but I haven't heard back from them yet. So I'll wait and see what they have to say, and maybe give me another pack. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But it's frustrating sometimes. So anyway, the greenhouse is pretty cleaned up. I just need, like everybody, need to straighten it up a little bit. But yeah, all my plants are pulled. Except for the corn and these few tomatoes, and they'll be pretty pitiful looking, I'm sure, when I go out to the greenhouse this afternoon. The rest of the garden, like I said, the beets are still in the garden. My wife's been picking beets and canning them, pickling them, and we'll check on those. But they're still growing, and this little bit of frost shouldn't have hurt them. Now, our flowers are a different story. Boy, that frost we had yesterday or day before, it did a number on the sunflowers. So the sunflowers are kind of petering out. Everything's kind of petering out, folks, but that's where the time is to think about what you want to do out in your garden. It's time to, if you got some perennials that you want to propagate, it's time to maybe get those and split the bulbs, split them. I still need to, like I said, I'd like to talk to Wayne and Patty Floyd out at Cool Cash Farms, who are peony experts deluxe. I've got five peony plants I've bought from them probably 5 or 6 years ago, and they are just nice, robust plants. But I'd like to learn how, I don't know how to split those. And I'd like to go out and have Wayne or Patty show me how to split those bulbs down there and get a few going in another couple spots of the yard. And they're the folks to ask about that. And a friend of our mine and Marty's down in Homer, she actually has a little peony farm too. I want to see what she's got to say, or if she even does that. I'm not sure if she does that, but I know Wayne and Patty do. So we'll see what they've got to say. But the rest of the flowers, I cut my peony bushes back the other day. They're fine. They did fine this year. And I just got me a little bale of straw. And I tried putting wood chips on them last year. And that did okay. But I've had better luck. I like using straw. So I got a bale of straw. And here probably today or tomorrow, I'll get that straw on top of those peonies. And they'll be ready for next year, and we'll see. I'm working, like I said, I don't want to. They can be real finicky, you know. I mean, I don't want to screw them up by taking a bulb out, taking them out, and splitting them. I'd hate to screw them up and then have them get started again, and then had taken a couple of years for him to produce again. So I don't know. I'll talk to Wayne and Patty and see what they've got to say about that. And I might not be a big deal, but as I've told you before, I lean more toward vegetable growing, and my wife likes the flowers. My wife's been picking a lot of nasturtium seeds that have matured. And, you can take those things and pickle them. Every bit of a nasturtium plant is edible. You can take those things and pickle them. They're become almost like giant capers, you know. So we've talked about doing that before. We just never have done it, you know. But, every now and then we'll take some nasturtium flowers and put them in a salad or something like that. Just makes them kind of nice, makes them kind of pretty. So the little greenhouse on the back deck that we grow herbs in, that's cleaned up and done. It's time. I've been working on, as I've told you folks before, it's time to get all that material, all that organic material from your garden, and don't throw it away. Get it in a big pile and keep it composting. I've been spreading it out on the ground. I ran over it with the lawnmower and building my pile up a little bit better. And that's what I'll do with all the junk. I've got to do that again. I got a couple of piles hanging around the garden, and I'll stick them out there, and I'll run over them, like I said, with the lawnmower again and get them in my pile and move along and hopefully have that compost enough to use next year on the garden. But there again, like I said, I'm going to wait and get some soil samples and see what that sample says. Is my organic material too high, too low? Where am I sitting? Do I need to maybe get some more minerals in there? You know, some of that mineral, the ground up rock and stuff they use to make some of those the mineral needs of the plants. Want to double check and get. I want to just want to get my garden in better shape for next year. Because like I said, it was a tough year for me, and we'll work on that a little bit too. So what's it time to do right now? You know, and outside of harvesting, what else is it time to do? Well, it's time to get ready. It is time to really start working on your garden for winterizing. You know, it is that time. You know, and what I've just talked about, one of the things it's time to do is you got to get those crop residues from your plots. Most of it can be composted, but if you had any type of disease problems, it also helped prevent disease and insect pests, such as some of the root maggots, keeps them from overwintering and returning. So as I mentioned before, I'm going to double check my soil, but when I take my sample, I'm actually going to scrape off just a little bit of my soil and get rid of it from the garden and replace it, you know, with some soil and peat mixed. And that's what I want to do. I'm going to test that. I got a pile of that soil and peat mix. I'm going to test that and send it into the lab also. Before I get my garden going next year, because I don't know if anybody slugs were horrible this year. You know, we know how to deal with them. A little beer, a little sluggo, or whatever you want to use. But the crop residues, sometimes those root maggots, they're going to overwinter in there and come right back. So I'm gonna kind of scrape my soil and look in there, look for some of the worms in there, the larvae of some of these bugs, and see if some of my soil needs to be scraped out. I'm gonna do that really in my greenhouse too. As I said, I've had some aphid problems this year. And one of the things my wife did on her little greenhouse on the back deck that she grows herbs in, we were getting trouble with aphids in there. And, you know, and the aphids are probably coming off the birch trees. We got birch trees in the backyard and right by the house. But what she did is, and I always forget what it's called. My wife would know what it is, and I bet she'll text me if I ask her what that is. Honey, what's that stuff that you put over the over the front of your little greenhouse on the back deck. It's, you know, it's like the thing they make veils out of for the wedding, you know, that kind of stuff. And she basically made a little screen out of that stuff and put it on her greenhouse, on her little herb greenhouse. She didn't have any aphids in there this year. That seemed to really help. They just didn't bother her greenhouse this year, her little herb greenhouse on the deck. And I was kind of skeptical of it working, but boy, it worked. It really worked. It's you know, you get it at the fabric store. And like I said, it's that clear stuff, kind of like a fabric screen material. You know, I don't know what it's called. Oh, and I just got a text, and I bet she's telling me it's called Thule fabric, T-U-U-L-E. Thule, she said it's Thule fabric, and she made a little screen out of that stuff. She had some extra of it, and it worked. It went right over the front of her little greenhouse, and it worked great. And, boy, she controlled the aphids in that thing. But it's time to do some of that stuff, the time to, you know, remove some of the things out in your garden that you don't want the snow on. You know, you can, if you have trouble remembering where you've got some of your perennials planted, you can put a little stake or a marker there that shows what you've got, where they are. You can apply a little bit of mulch to your perennials, and be sure that if you've got anything in your containers, you know, one of the things Bobby Jackson does out at Jackson Gardens is, and I'm sure a lot of you folks have been out there with all those planters she's got out there, all those smaller containers, they leave them out there, they're perennials, but they leave them out there all winter long, but they turn every single one of them over on their side, and that keeps the snow from getting in there, and then the snow melts, and then it goes down there and it turns to ice. Well, that keeps the moisture out of those pots, and then all they do in the spring is they turn them up right again and they start to grow. But that's how she takes care of a lot of her perennials that she's propagating and selling to folks. Some of them have sat out there for years and years, and they come back every year. We took our dahlia planters, containers, and cut them back. And then I left them in their planters this year. And we've done this before and had good luck with it. And there again, I put them in the garage. They will dry out. And then here in the spring, when it's time to think about planting them again, give them a little bit of water. And in all likelihood, we won't have any trouble. Those dahlias will come right back. And then you can also get new dahlia bulbs. I'll get some more dahlia bulbs too. And I've had great luck, you know, with dahlia bulbs just from the big box stores, local big box stores, all of them. And I'll tell you, they, you know, I think out of all the dahlias we planted this year, I only had one that really didn't sprout. One of the tubers didn't sprout, but the rest of them, man, they made great dahlias, just absolutely made wonderful dahlias. So, you know, that proves to me that you don't have to spend a lot of money to get some really nice looking flowers. Now, as you know, dahlias are perennials in some zones, but they're annuals up here. So if you put them in the ground, be sure you got them marked where you can get those out of the ground, store the bulbs, and fire them up next spring, get them in it. But if they're in containers, as I said, you can move them inside in a garage or something like that, and they should come back next year. Which also is a reminder, we had a really wonderful crop this year that we had. I can't believe the succulents. We had succulents out on the front porch. Well, we brought those. It was time to get those in the garage in a window. So we've got those, and they're doing absolutely wonderful. But there's so much you can do now. Keep going on your compost pile. Empty your buckets, the watering cans, rain barrels. You know, I've told you folks before, I got four barrels in my greenhouse painted flat black. One of them is for watering. I let the water warm up in that barrel. And the other ones just hold water to warm up and keep just a little extra. Well, those are all empty now. I siphoned all the water out of those and let it run out the greenhouse, out the door, and those are ready to go. Important, too, I would recommend is drain your hoses and your sprinklers well. I will be blowing all the air out of my water system going out to the garden. It is time. It's time to do that. You want to get that stuff out of anything. We always take all our watering wands and everything, and we put them in the garage because letting those freeze, it just screws them up for next year. So, as I said, we've been working hard to get the garden ready for winter. And, you know, one of the things that we can do is, you know, there's not a whole lot for us up here that will make it through the winter. I mean, we've got our perennial, the bulbs that are underground. They will, they'll work. They come back, and it's sometimes there's a little bit of trouble, but there's not a whole lot that we can do up here that keeps things going like in the lower 48. You know, some of the folks in the lower 48, depending on what part of the country you're in, I mean, they can start planting right now and still get actually a pretty good crop of some of the cool weather crops that for us is a summer crop. But for them, it's just another crop they do because they just don't get. They might get a little frost every now and then, but it doesn't get them like it gets us up here. Even keeping your things in a high tunnel or in an unheated greenhouse, it's rare for anything to make it up here. And I would love to have a heated greenhouse, but like I said, boy, that is expensive to keep going. And it's like anything else, you know, if that's your hobby, if that's what you like to do, go ahead and do that. But I just can't bring myself to do that right now. It just is so expensive. And as I've said before, when a head of lettuce or a tomato, a head of lettuce is costing me $15 or $20 because of the electric, I'm just not going to do it. But as I've mentioned before to you, too, is you can grow some of these things in the house in the wintertime, especially the micro tomatoes, microtom, high hat. You know, they will literally get 6 to 10 inches tall, have a bunch of tomatoes on them. And I'll tell you what, on those cold winter days, where there's 3 foot of snow on the ground, you can go in there and you rub that tomato leaf and you get that smell of fresh tomato smell through the dead of winter. That actually, that's almost rejuvenating. It is rejuvenating to know that it's not going to be like that forever. So, and as another tip for working on this stuff is, you can prune raspberries this time of year, roses, gooseberries, or other berry bushes. You can do that this time of year. You can bring in your sand and soil and compost ready to have them ready to go for next year. Check if you've got leftover seeds. You got them stored properly, cool, dry location. For max storage life, and you can even on leftover seeds, you know, if you find a pack that's a couple of years old, you can do a germination test. You know, like I said, lay maybe 10 seeds out on a damp paper towel or piece of toilet paper or whatever, keep them moist and see how they germinate. If 6 of them germinate, then you can kind of assume that the entire pack is going to have about a 60% germination rate. And that's not too bad. If you've got one that germinates, you can probably throw those away. I'm actually going to get rid of all my seeds this year. I'm getting rid of all of them. And I'm starting fresh. I've got old seeds. I've got seeds to, like I said, I'm starting fresh. And, you know, another thing to think about, thinking about going into next year, is we all like to experiment a little bit with what we're doing. But we're probably going to start sticking with some of our vegetables, with the things we really like. You know, I would like to, next year, I want to grow a little bit more broccoli. We really like broccoli, so I'm gonna grow more next year. I might grow more carrots next year. Definitely want to grow more green beans. Get some green beans going and try to maximize those of what we really like, and go ahead, you know, not that I'm not gonna try some other things, but I'm gonna just grow more of what we really like. Green beans, beets, carrots, broccoli, maybe some more cauliflower, and get those in there and have those and be ready to go next year. And like I said, I'll continue to experiment a little bit, but I'm also going to grow more of what we really like and move forward. And I'm thinking about that already. So, but that's one of the things you can be doing, like I said, already, and especially, like I said, we'll do another show coming up here in after the first of the year. You can investigate any new plant varieties that you might want to give a try. That, you know, like if there's a new variety of broccoli, or a new variety of beet, or new variety. And that goes back to, remember what I've said before, of grow what you like. If you hate broccoli, don't grow broccoli. If you hate beets, don't grow beets. You know, unless the rest of your family likes them, you've got a big family. But it's time to, really, it's kind of time to plan your projects already for next season. That's one of the things you can really think about doing now. One of the things, now, we don't have this at our house. We don't have a wood stove. But one of the things you can do is save your wood ashes, and you can put them in your compost pile. You can spread it out on your garden beds. I used to do that back in Missouri when we had a wood stove. Now this is, oh my gosh, this is, golly, 45 years ago, at least back in the 70s when I was in my 20s. And every time I emptied my wood stove out, I took that bucket, had the metal bucket, and I took it out to my garden, and I just picked an area, and I just spread it lightly over the top of my garden. And, boy, that worked. That helps little potassium and phosphorus in there. It can also help reduce the requirements for lime. And that's one of the things that works pretty well. We don't have a wood stove in this house, so it's tough to do. I thought about asking some of my neighbors who do have a wood stove, see if they'd start saving their wood ash for me, and I'll bring it down the house, maybe put it in a big metal trash can, and keep it until spring. I've still been saving my eggshells. I let them dry out, and then I've got a really old coffee grinder out at the greenhouse that one of the little blades broke off, you know, just one side of it works, but that's perfect for putting my eggshells in and literally grinding them up into a powder. And I keep those in one of the old plastic ice cream, gallon and a quarter ice cream containers. And I save that, and that's what I've got my ground up eggshells in, to get a little more calcium in the ground. Because like we said, there's nothing wrong with putting eggshells in the garden, but if you're putting whole eggshells in or all that stuff, it takes them quite a while to decompose, to make them accessible to the plant so the plant can take that and use those nutrients. So the smaller you get it, just like in your compost pile, you can put whole plants, you can put all that whole stuff in your in your compost pile if you want, but it just works so much better if you grind it up and get it into smaller pieces. It breaks down faster, and it will, in fact, make the compost will mature a little bit faster. But as we've said before, the compost that you're making this year gets used next year. And it's just, it's always a year behind. And some people, I know one of our gardeners in the club, O'Dennis, his is about, is every other year. You know, he's got three bins that he works on his compost in, and it takes 2 years before he uses it in his garden. So it's a rotating schedule on getting his compost made. But it's whatever kind of works for you. And one of the things I like to do that I have mentioned before, it's been a while, is through the winter, I like to take care of my hand tools. You know, you sharpen them, you oil them, you clean them, you make sure they're in good shape. And I still have in my garage, and I've had it forever, is it's a 5 gallon bucket with sand in it, and then I poured motor oil in it. And you can take your shovels, you can take all that stuff, and you run it in that bucket and work it up and down and up and down. You know, try and get as much dirt off as you can first, kind of clean them up. And then you run that up and down in that sand, and that kind of scours the metal of your tool. And then it oils it, gets a little bit of oil on it, and then you've got it. And what I do is whenever they're stuck down in that sand, then I put a little bit of tape, painter's tape, around where the metal part goes to the wood, and I spray paint the handles. And I just spray paint a bunch of different bright colors. You know, I got blue, purple, yellow, red tool handles. And I didn't do it last year, but I did the year before. And now after kind of two seasons of being outdoors and gardening, they need another coat of paint on them. So I'm going to get all my hand tools, all my, you know, shovel and rakes and everything. I'll get them in the garage this year, and through the winter, I will work on those and get them painted and get them ready for next year. I'm colorblind, so I really like things that are bright colored that I know where they are and what they are. If I paint something, a brown handle on something, and I lay it down somewhere or something, it can sometimes be right in front of me, and I can't see where it is because it blends into the rest of the background. So I like to do things bright colored, and that way I can't miss them. I can't miss them then. But that's kind of a fun thing to do when it's a cold day, get in the garage and work on that, and work on that stuff. Then you're ready for next year. It's just like doing maintenance. I like to do maintenance on my lawnmower now, put it in storage, and that way I know whenever I start needing my tools next year that it is ready to go. I don't have to worry about getting behind, and I know I can hop on the tractor. I can my push mower or whatever, I know that it's going to be in good shape, got clean oil in it, maybe got a spark plug that's, if not replaced, it's cleaned, little sand pits, it's clean real well. And I'll tell you what, it's worth the time to do that. We always get, everybody gets a few weeds sometimes growing around their garden. I'm weed whacking everywhere and getting some of those weeds down. And pulling them away from the garden, getting them away from everything. And I don't put them, it kind of depends on the time of year and the weather. But to me, it's too late right now. I've put weeds in my compost pile before because I've been able to get my compost pile up to 160 or so degrees. That's about the hottest I've ever got one. Too hot to put your hand in it. 150 degrees, you can't put your hand in there. It's too hot, it'll burn you. But those are the kind of temperatures you need that kill weed seeds. If you can't get your compost pile hot enough, I don't recommend putting weed seeds in there, at least weeds that have grown up to the point of going to seed. Now I will, when I cut the grass, I will take my grass, as long as there's no weeds, and I'll just dump that right in my compost pile from the bagger. And that works pretty good. But yeah, unless I've got a really good hot compost pile going, I will not put those weed seeds in there. I've got a spot on another part of the property where I just throw it into the woods and don't worry about it, because it's not worth doing all that hard work and then just reintroducing weeds into your garden. So there again, if you can't get your compost pile hot enough, I'd say not to put your weeds in there if they've gone to seed. But your other things, you can save up, you can put in your car, or you can get them and save them for the next year. Like I said, your eggshells. And you know, one of the things I like to do, and sometimes I forget to do it, but, you know how we're a coffee obsessed culture anymore, is so many of the coffee bars will be more than happy to give you their coffee grounds. I have had the back of our SUV full of coffee grounds before, and I get those and I dump them in my compost pile, or I will spread those on the top of one of my garden beds. And even if you don't, you know, like if you get some now, you get them in the winter, you just wait till spring. If you got a place, you can even store them outside. I've let them freeze hard as a rock before, stored outside, and they do just fine. They, in the spring, they thaw, and you get out there and you spread it around. You use them however. But oh yeah, those things are great. Those coffee grounds are wonderful to put in your compost pile. It's time to cut. You know, if you got any branches or brush, you get all that stuff done. Clean your trellises off. You know, I grew vining beans in the greenhouse this year, and I'll tell you what, they got thick as thick can be on my trellis that I've gotten there against the wall. And I'll tell you what, I had to climb up on a ladder and use some clippers, because they wrap themselves so much. I use cattle panel pieces and hog panel pieces attached to the wall of my greenhouse, and that's what I let my vining plants grow up on. But yeah, I mean, I had to get up on a ladder, and it was quite the scene in there. I couldn't believe how much they had wrap themselves around that whole thing. So that's something to do this year, because if you don't, I tell you what, those things, they're going to dry out. They're going to be tougher next year. The leaves will be, but I'll tell you what, you will work hard next year in the spring getting those dadgum vines off your trellises if you don't do it now. Like I said, they will dry out. Those vines will get hard. And they're hard to pull off. They're a lot easier to pull off while they're green. But I still had to make some cuts in special places and to get them to pull off. So that's one of the smart things to do at this time of year to make your life a little bit easier, a little bit easier in the spring. And then one of the other best things to do through the winter and getting ready to go into winter is research. You can read books, you can look online. As we've said, our telephones in our hands are incredibly powerful. I love helping folks with their garden, but I'll tell you what, you can type in your little search in your phone, is just type in, how do I prune my hascap bushes? Well, videos come up, and you can watch that and watch. You can see it's like firsthand, almost like being with someone. And I'll tell you what, that's how I've done, especially now. And with this artificial intelligence, I'll tell you what, I've asked that AI, some of those AI programs, hey, what about this? And I'll tell you what, you get an answer. It's amazing the information that is at our fingertips. So I do that at wintertime. I do that at home. And the summer too, not just winter. Excuse me. You sit there and you look at something you pops in your head and you look and you're like, oh, I can do that. That's a good deal. So it's a wonderful thing to do. And I'll tell you, there's a lot we can do to make yourself a better gardener. And like I said, I can guarantee you, and I've said this before, I can guarantee you that a lot of you folks listening are way better gardener than I am. I can tell you that right now. There's probably so many people that could do this show. I don't care about, I've said it before, I don't care what the taxonomic name of something is. All I want to do is grow the things that grow and produce what I want them to produce. I don't care what the scientific name of the plant is. I want to know that it's a bush green bean or a better boy or Ozark beauty or early girl tomato. That's what I want to know. That's all I care about is finding out what works, still doing a little bit of experimentation. But yeah, that's my goal. But yeah, there are so many people that are every bit as good a gardener as me and way better gardener than me. I mean, you look at Marcia and Bobby and Donna in the garden club and some of the folks, they are, Chuck and LaVon, they are wonderful gardeners whenever you look and see what they've got at their home and how they do things, you know. It's just, I just like to help folks be better gardeners and make things as easy on their life as possible for success. So that's where I'm coming from with doing all this. Well, folks, we're getting really close to the end of the show, and I want to remind you that this is going to be the last Growing a Greener Kenai for a little while. We will be back. You know, like I said, we will be back in the spring. In November, December, we'll be back in about a month at the end of October, and we will. That song or that music right there means we've only got 2 minutes of the show left. But I'll be back. I'd like to try and get Casey Matney maybe come on with me for the fundraiser again. He's a wealth of information. We'll come back and come up with some of the better, more current gifts to maybe give the gardener in your life at Christmas. We'll come back after the first of the year and talk about seeds, maybe what we're going to grow this year, and actually talk about maybe a little bit too as we buy seeds is the change in our growing zone of what we've been in the last couple of years. So anyway, it's a... there's really going to be a lot to do. Be thinking about what you want to do next year. I can guarantee you Bobby Jackson's making plans for next year already, as a lot of gardeners are. I know I am. I'm thinking about it. I haven't really written anything or bought anything yet, but I guarantee you I am thinking about it. So anyway, thanks so much, again so much for listening to Growing a Greener Kenai. I hope you folks are still enjoying the show. I enjoy doing it. Like I said, I like to provide simple, good information that'll work for all of us in our zone, and then we will we'll see how we do next year. And don't forget coming up. I can't remember the date, but the Montessori School Farmers Market is coming up pretty soon. It might be next weekend. I can't remember. We'll have to look at that. The Growing a Greener Kenai email site if you've got any ideas. So, all right, folks. Well, thanks again for listening. This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. We'll see you in a few months. Thanks again. The coral that lies beneath the waves. Oh, what joy for every girl.